On behalf of the family, I'd like to welcome you all for this funeral service of the late Brother Pete Oslander. It's very special for the family that you are here to mourn with them and rejoice with them. I'd like now to read various scriptures. Several of these passages were also read the last months with Brother Oslander in the time that he was in the hospital. First from Psalm 103, "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them." Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Psalm 62, which was also the psalm at the funeral of Oma Oslander. "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Psalm 121, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." And then from the New Testament, Luke 12:32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And John 14, verse 1 to 6, "Let not your heart be troubled," says Jesus there. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then last, Revelation 22, verse 17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." The word of the Lord. Let us now come in prayer to God. O gracious and most merciful Triune God, we have come to this place for a somber occasion with the death of a loved one, facing the reality of the frailty and shortness of life. We pray, bless us as we are here together. We give thanks that already we could begin with singing songs of praise, singing to the Lord who is from everlasting to everlasting and whose word endures forever and whose mercy never fails. We pray, O God, bless us as we may be under that word of God even now, this hour together. Lead us in the way everlasting through the Word. Help us, O Lord, in the house of mourning to see for real the reality of of death and how it comes upon us each and all in its time. And we do not know our time, but it comes. O Lord, grant that for each one here we may be prepared for when we die. That we have died already to ourselves and died to sin and found life in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we may have life and that more abundantly. We pray, bless the word as it will be brought, this service. Bless it with the Holy Spirit accompanying that word, making it have impact, making it not just go in one ear and out the other, but to sink down into our hearts and to bear fruit, fruit of repentance and faith and trust and love, devotion to you, O Savior God. We come at this time, O Lord, to give thanks for Brother Pete Oslander, who he may have been also for us and for the family. Also the last 3 years that you have given for the family with him. Lord, we give thanks for the blessings received. We pray help the family now further as they will be without not only their mom but also their dad. Without Oma and Opa Oslander. Lord, comfort them. Strengthen them. Help the family to go on. Help them with all that needs to be done further. Be their comfort, their strength and refuge. We give thanks with them that they may have the comfort that their loved one died in the Lord, looking to Jesus. And we acknowledge, we confess together that there's no greater comfort than this. Lord, blessed be thy name, the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort any who are in any trouble with the same comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. So bless us together, Lord, and make this service to be to the praise and honor of thy triune name and for all our good, also for the good of those who may yet be unsaved, that they may come to Jesus while it is still the day of grace. In Jesus' name we pray all these things, in the forgiveness of our sins, through his precious blood. Amen. I'll invite you to read with me from the scriptures, from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 20. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 20 to the end of the chapter. Matthew 11, verse 20 to 30. You find it on page 956 in your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord again. Then he, that's Jesus, began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So far the scriptures, and the text we will focus on is Matthew 11, verse 28, where we read, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. dear family Oslander, children and grandchildren, and extended family, congregation and friends, we have come here for the funeral of Brother Pete Oslander. He has been sick for a long time. In late May, after one more road trip to Alberta with son Hans to visit family there, Jake and Mina, on May 27, Pete was admitted to the hospital here in Chilliwack, and then later in Surrey, and then in Chilliwack again. Yes, through all the summertime, right till the day of his death, early this past Sunday morning, September 16, 2007. 7 years ago, he also had a long time in the hospital, almost 2 months, then in Vancouver. But now Pete's last breath has come too, and he's no longer alive here on earth below. We are speaking now, as the program puts it, quote, in memory of a dear father, opa, brother-in-law, uncle, and friend, end of quote. We wish you, as immediate family members, especially strength in this time of mourning, the loss of a loved one, and dealing with this loss. For you as children, having your mother pass away just over 3 years ago, and now your father, this marks a new stage in life. You now go on without your parents, and no opa and oma Oslander anymore. Generations come and generations go, generation after generation, till the Lord returns. The frailty of man. Are we not reminded of this again, also with the death of your loved one? On Sunday night, we read together with the Oslander families, sons and daughters, from Psalm 90. And how true the words of verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Recently in a sermon, I mentioned how a lifespan of 80 years, which many don't make, Brother Oslander didn't either, is only a period of 960 months, or 4,160 weeks, or just 29,200 days, or if you want it in hours, only 700,800 hours. Time is short. And how good it is to go to the house of mourning. For as the wise man says in Ecclesiastes 7, to have things there put rightly before us and the eternal perspective shown to us. Better it is, says the wise man, to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Do you live in the face of the reality of death and judgment and a conscious eternity in either of one or two, or either of two places, heaven or hell? Your father and your opa will be missed also much in our church family. Ever since your family immigrated from Holland in the early 60s, they have been part of the Free Reformed churches here in the valley. Your father, in different ways, showed his love for the church and for the cause of God's kingdom. He served as an office bearer, either as deacon or as elder in Pitt Meadows and in Langley, and also here in Chilliwack. He was involved in singing in choirs, and he loved that. He was involved in the Lord's Day Association and in the Trinitarian Bible Society. And he and his wife showed continued interest in any and all Christian ministries and mission organizations. I still see your father in his last years hobbling in church, even for different mission evenings, having to take his washroom breaks, but being old faithful in attending when and where he could. How he loved to go out for his coffee. And various of our older members have spent quite a bit of time with him in that way too, especially since the passing away of Oma Oslander just 3 years ago. How many visits too have been made in the hospital the last months, and most often it was very good to visit Brother Pete Oslander. Many drives out with him also took place, especially with son Hans and Joanne. In all these ways, now there is an empty place
and a sense of loss. Peter Oslander was a serious man, a friendly man, a simple man, a spiritual man. And in the last 3 years also without mom, the Lord gave you as family opportunity to come a bit closer together with Him. God was good and kind in giving you this time together. But enough about Brother Pete Oslander. Except for this yet. I want to say last Friday, just before noon, was my last good contact with Brother Pete Oslander, when he was still fully conscious. I asked him then, with his two daughters present also, "Brother Oslander, do you have peace with God?" And he knew death was coming. And his reply was this, "Yes, Pastor," he replied, "for Jesus says, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And this is also what brings me now to our text for this funeral service. Peter had been given a handmade plaque with Matthew 11, 28, 30 written on it. And it was placed by his bed on the hospital wall in Surrey and in Chilliwack. It was given to him with his 77th birthday this past July 11. In his funeral message then, "Not now for the dead, but for the living, let me proclaim the gospel word." Jesus' words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Was Brother Oslander right in thinking that he could be at peace and ready to die and meet with God and judgment, putting his hope and trust in this word? This word of God? This gospel word? What do you think? Is this word of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, reliable? "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know what? It sure is reliable. For consider the following. Think with me first of the person who spoke these words. Jesus spoke these words. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, who would never tell a falsehood. And who only always meant what He said and said what He meant. His words are most reliable and trustworthy, more so than of any other human being who ever lived. You know and believe that too, don't you? Or don't you? Pete Oslander knew, whatever else was the case, this was always the case. God's word here is reliable. And the words of Jesus, who is God come in the flesh, His word is so to be counted on, to be trusted in, to be believed, to be relied upon. In Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus states even, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." By no means pass away. God's word, Jesus' word, the Holy Spirit's writing is the truth, absolutely so and completely so, forever so. Something to live by and die on. You can't go wrong that way. Indeed, it's the only way to live and die triumphantly, clinging to and trusting in God's and His word, in God and His word. In John 6, verse 68, we hear the disciple Peter say to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." In Revelation 21, verse 5, we read too from the lips of the exalted Savior in heaven above, about the Bible and about the gospel way of victory through Jesus Christ. "Then He who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" The person who speaks here and calls, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," is Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Oh, how He should be listened to, and how He should be heard and trusted and obeyed. Are you coming to Jesus at His call. Yes, even with the calling from the text now, Matthew 11:28. To live and die in peace, we each and all need to come to Jesus and repent of sin and believe on Him. Here notices me a second reason. This text is so reliable and urgent to depend on. For consider not just the person who speaks these words, but consider to the problem he describes. The problem he describes. The problem Jesus describes here in our text is people who are laboring and heavy laden. What does Jesus mean with that phrase? When He says, "Come to Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." He is speaking about people who are struggling in life's journey, laboring to be accepted of God and weighed down time and again with a sense of sin and realization of so much shortcoming and our sinfulness. Jesus speaking about people realizing that life is short, and before we know it, we come to death's door and then face the last judgment. And how then shall we stand before God? The weary and the heavy laden applies to anyone who, for whatever reason, tries wholly or partly to achieve salvation or something to get accepted by God and to have peace for the future. Do you know something of struggling with that in your life as well? The problem we have, isn't it true, from our conception is that we are conceived and born in sin. And of ourselves, never can we make things right with God. But only we daily increase our debt through our countless sins and shortcomings before the righteous and holy God. Of ourselves, we never can escape the punishment for sin in any respect. And we never can begin to live a perfect life, wholly pleasing to God, without any sin and wrongdoing anymore. No, we are by nature dead in sins and trespasses, and we are hopelessly guilty and condemned before God, left to ourselves. Some, like the Pharisees and all false religion of man's making, come up with schemes and ways to soothe our guilty conscience before God, and they look for ways falsely to promote some rules or behavior that might be appeasing to God and that might yet make us pleasing to Him. But it is just impossible before God of ourselves ever to please Him and to make ourselves acceptable to Him. For He is holy and we are unholy. He is righteous, and we are sinful. When Jesus then says, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden," He is addressing sinners in their sinful state and condition. Why is this word so reliable then? Because it addresses us where we are at. This your dear father and opa knew too. This text, Matthew 11:28, was a text for him. Because he was a man he knew guilty and plagued with sin of himself. And he knew never could he of himself clear himself or cleanse himself or renew himself from sin and all its miserable consequences. He knew this by the grace of God. He labored in his own strength, he knew. He never could get anywhere. He labored even with the physical consequences of man's fall into sin, dealing with the last month so much sickness and weakness and disease. Laboring and toiling in life and burdened with inabilities and this and that struggle in life, especially over against God, but also with others. Where can true peace be found? Where can real forgiveness of sin be found and had? Where can true reconciliation with God and man be granted? Well, Jesus touches on the human condition of sin and our sinfulness by nature when speaking of those laboring and heavy laden.
You know, the Bible even says all of creation is groaning because of sin. This is the reality of all fallen mankind in one way or another. Jesus describes our problem, laboring and heavy laden, never able of ourselves to find peace with God and perfect peace with others. Do you know something of that problem in your own life, left to yourself? Why is Matthew 11:28 so reliable and trustworthy? Because of the person who speaks these words and the problem of man he describes. Notice too how the text says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." In other words, this text does not put a fence around the invitation. But Jesus here is giving a wide open invitation. Some wrongly will make a condition out of the problem Jesus describes, stating that only those may come to Jesus who know about and who maybe can tell about laboring and being heavy laden over sin. But Jesus is by no means here giving a conditional gospel promise. But he is describing simply all who may come and those who will come. It is true that without a sense of sin and you realizing something of your wretched sinfulness and dreadful state by nature, you won't look for, you won't really listen to the gospel call. But that is not the same as saying that the call and invitation of the text is only for those living with a right sense of or with a feeling of a certain measure of their sins and sinfulness. No. Jesus is calling to lost mankind in a world full of misery, of sin. And his call is, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The call given especially to all who labor and are heavy laden doesn't narrow the gospel call and invitation here, but only broadens it and underscores it all the more for all to hear and respond to. Are you one who also comes to Jesus for his salvation, for his rest, for body and soul? He calls to you to come to him. Do you come to him? Notice yet how the text gives the call to come to Jesus, all who labor and are heavy laden, right in the context of speaking of God's decree of election. The decree of God's electing love in no way minimizes the sincere gospel call to all, but again, only underscores the sure success of that gospel call. The gospel is not for people as the elect of God, but for people as sinners, and the sinners saved by grace, trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, are the elect of God. Don't place the decree of God's election unto salvation before the gospel offer and limiting it that way. But see rather that decree of election is actually part of the gospel offer itself and the sure success of it. None who come to Jesus shall be put to shame, and all who come to him will know it was because he drew them in his love and in his mercy and in his grace through his Spirit and Word. Hear Jesus say in Matthew 11, verse 27 and 28, "All things have been delivered to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you see what reasons to rely on this word of our text for this funeral service? The person who speaks these words, the problem he describes us with, and lastly, think of the promise Jesus makes here as all reasons to come to Jesus in spirit and in truth for all your salvation and for as long as you shall live. Jesus promises, "And I will give you rest." Freely he will grant rest, meaning reconciliation with God,
forgiveness of sin, peace of conscience, everlasting righteousness, and the gift of eternal life. And all that is wonderful, beyond words, for body and soul. The word rest here in our text refers really to the complete salvation of God in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Brother Pete Oslander, your loved one, found rest and peace with God, looking to Jesus, and putting all his weight, all his life, all his sins, all his hope in Jesus' hands. Jesus gives rest in a total and ultimate way before God and man, and in life and death for body and soul. For Jesus, as Savior of sinners, he accomplished perfect salvation from all sin through his glorious person and gracious work as Savior of sinners. Jesus Christ, the gospel further tells us when you read through the Bible, he died the death we sinners deserve. Even the death of the cross. He bore the judgment of God's wrath for sin in the sinner's place. At the same time, Jesus lived on behalf of sinners. That perfect, sinless, righteous, God-honoring life that we need for perfect acceptance with God. Christ Jesus, through his shed blood on Calvary and with his resurrection from the dead as Savior of sinners, he grants freely and fully perfect rest for body and soul, for all his own, even for as many as come to him. In Revelation 14:13, we read it in the gym just before we came in here. We read these comforting words from the inspired Apostle John. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. With the Lord and coming to him in faith and repentance is found perfect rest for body and soul, for time and eternity, and all for Jesus' sake alone, by grace alone. Are you each and all coming to the Lord Jesus, seeking always your salvation and all your rest with him too, in and through him? How wonderful when your testimony may be, as was with Brother Oslander, yes, I have peace, for Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Oslanders, they love to read from Spurgeon's little book entitled The Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. And it's a book that has all kinds of meditations on different promises of the Bible. They live by the promises of God's Word. Is that how you are living as well? Don't let it be for anyone here who hears the gospel and is under the Word even many times that you don't and you won't come to Jesus in childlike faith. Remember Jesus' warning words that we read just before our text to the covenant people of old, that it will be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Meaning, you who hear and know the way and are under the promises, but always you have your excuses for not coming to Jesus in spirit and in truth. Without Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are and you remain without peace with God. And you have no hope of real rest as long as you will not confess your sins and look to Christ alone as your Savior and Lord also for you. To live apart from God is death, meaning eternal death. But to trust and obey the gospel call and the gospel way, as is freely offered to us in Jesus Christ, life more abundant, eternal life forevermore with the Lord and all his people in the new heavens and the new earth. He'll have no more trouble walking there. No more toe problems. No more breathing problems. When he gets his new body in the day of the resurrection. Well, will this godly legacy continue down through the Oslander generations?
Will you too live and seek to live and die, ever testifying of Jesus Christ as your only hope and refuge from sin, Satan, death, and hell? And will you live seeking to be a witness of that gospel to others like Opah wanted to be too? May also this funeral service be blessed to lead and guide us all in this way everlasting, the way of grace and truth for Jesus' sake. Following this funeral service, once more, congregation, you will be asked to walk by the open casket of Brother Pete Oslander. As you walk by, think about it, how one day, and who knows when, it'll be your turn to be in the casket and to be brought to the grave and to meet with death and to meet with God and the last judgment. As you walk by, think of that and hear and remember the gospel call spoken at death's door also now from the person of Jesus, who knows our problem with sin and who promises, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thus saith the Lord." Amen. Let's give thanks. O gracious God of heaven and earth, we read in the Bible that fallen mankind is described as a valley of dry bones, dead dry bones. And we are taught from the book of Ezekiel that it's through the word of the Lord, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, that there comes life in the dry, dead bones. And we are taught by Jesus, whoever believes in Him shall never die. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we know that's through the power of the gospel. And we pray that that gospel may be blessed now by the Holy Spirit, making just this simple word, which is so well known to us, have such an impact as perhaps it never has had before. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, bless the word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Honor your word in our day. Oh God, we pray for your people and for lost sinners still in blindness. Open their eyes that they may see. Open their ears that they may hear. Open their hearts that they may receive the wonderful words of life. Lord, we pray for all who are here at this funeral, also mourning loss of loved ones themselves in their own families. We think of those who have, even this past year or the last couple of years, have lost loved ones. But it may even have been years ago. And sometimes it can be so keenly felt, the loss of a loved one. We pray for comfort from on high in each and every case. We pray for strength now when we go to the gravesite. We pray for help to leave the body of Brother Oslander there and to trust in the rest that the Lord promises for all His people, body and soul, as will be made known most clearly in the great resurrection day when Christ returns. Lord, forgive all that which was sinful, even as we are here together. Help us to see our sins. Help us to be sorry for sin. Help us to know indeed, apart from Christ, no matter how good life may be, we labor and toil, and we are without hope. Oh God, bless us then in the way of true faith and true repentance and true devotion to you, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen.